This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
In fact, we do actually have a question caller on the line for Ian, who has been very gracious with his time tonight here. I mean, spent the first hour with us talking about what happened in Croydon, New Hampshire, which is where he lives. He's a Free State Project early mover, having moved here with his wife Jody in 2007. And we haven't even mentioned Bardo Farm, by the way, which probably deserves a big shout-out here, because, Ian, you are... Is it correct to say that you guys are some of the founding members of Bardo Farm?
Yes, we are. We own it with Neil and Emily Smith, but they do all the work.
And it must be a lot of work, because you guys... Bardo Farm is at... all of the events.
Yes.
It's at every, what do they call them, the market days that happen across the state, where people trade and buy and sell various different homemade kind of craft items and foods and things like that. Can you just mention real fast, what is Bardo Farm? What was the vision there, and how's it been going?
The vision was effectively to be more of a school thing, but the farm itself is really, it started out... we're trying to find the right words for this, but one of the things they started doing was getting stuff that would just get thrown away, actually doing something useful with it, feeding it to pigs and then using what comes back out of the pigs as to improve the soil. And so they're really about, you know, cutting down on waste and making awesome food. And their tagline is happy animals taste better. So
nice.
They sure do.
They try to keep the animals happy.
Yeah, we've got some Bardo meats here in the freezer right now. I think you do too, Captain.
I do. Yeah, I'm a big fan. Whenever Bardo is at the market days, I'm always buying stuff. Emily, you know, knows me, and I'm trying to remember the other guy that shows up on occasion. He's got like initial. Oh no, it's Duck. That's the other guy.
Duck.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Bardo meats do not last that long in my freezer. That's why I don't have any.
So yeah, it's cool because it's really literally feeding the Freedom community in a lot of ways.
Well, and it's that whole like community building thing, right? There is a resource that has been part of the folks who love Freedom, part of their community. They built a thing, and they have a product that, you know, they are trading with other Freedom loving people, and I think that is really a huge important part of what's going on here in New Hampshire. That community building.
Yeah. It is, and part of that community building, by the way, is, I mean, we have people who come by, and we will show them how to do things. We'll show them how to harvest a chicken. We'll show them how to fence in pigs or raise animals or whatever. I mean, it's not just about providing the food, but sort of the bigger vision is to get people to produce their own food, to rely on themselves more.
So we spent the first hour talking about what happened in Croydon with the school board vote that reduced the budget. A bunch of people came out after that, and they rallied the statist troops. They lied to a bunch of the townspeople, and they came out and they got them to essentially undo what had happened at the town meeting. And I think we actually have a call on this. Maybe it's about this. I didn't ask him what his question was exactly, but Bad Slave is calling from somewhere else in New Hampshire. Bad Slave, you're on Free Talk Live with Ian Underwood.
Hi, Ian. It's great to speak with you. I don't know if you've seen my postings here and there that are dealing with home learning and private schools and, you know, the right answer to education, and public schools are decidedly the absolute wrong answer. One of the reasons that showed up in serious contrast is the whole COVID debacle. It was a state organized destruction of the economy. Of you know, everybody's saying, oh, we got to get the kids back in school, and And I'm just saying, no, let's not do that. And as a result of the COVID thing, that they actually lost a lot of students, a lot of the largest, my understanding is the largest changeover to home learning has occurred.
It doesn't surprise me one bit. I mean, for one thing, people actually got a look at how terrible the education program is.
Right, and they realized they could do it themselves.
Right.
You know, now that they were kind of forced to some extent, and they stayed with it.
That's all you're learning? Oh, wow.
I want to get Ian's opinion on that. Ian, go ahead. I know that your wife, Jody, is on the school board there. Did y'all see in Croydon a reduction, kind of a permanent reduction in the amount of students there after COVID?
It's a small town, so statistically not much has happened. We have seen some people who are now interested in going to the kind of micro schools that the school board was proposing using, or learning co-ops, or just withdrawing their students. But it's hard to say anything statistically significant in the town with that small a sample size. We do know that we have friends who are...
We never shut our schools. We didn't require masks.
Right, yeah. Jody wanted to...
Go ahead and restate what she said, because I can kind of hear her, but...
Yeah, we did not shut our school down, and we did not require masks.
Wow, okay.
That's awesome.
So,
that's great.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was very much business as usual for us, but I do know that there is, across the state at least, a lot of people, as you said, are, having seen what's going on, have decided that maybe that's not the best thing for their kids.
Right, and there's also something else that's been interesting, and thank you, Bad Slave, for the call tonight. Something else that's been developing in just the last, I think, year or so in New Hampshire was they passed something called education savings accounts at the state level, and that, as I understand it, has allowed parents there's a certain income requirement that you have to be below basically to take advantage of it, but it's allowed a lot of parents, in fact they filled the programs as I've heard, allowed parents to essentially indicate to the state that they're going to be taking care of their own education with kids, maybe take them to a private school or doing homeschooling or unschooling, and they basically get cut a check from this education savings account program to cover the costs, or as much as possible, up to a certain amount of $1,000, thousands of dollars per year. Are you aware of that program, and can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'm aware of the program. I believe the amount is some percentage of the adequacy money, which is around $3,700 per student. And the idea is, you know, that the money follows the student, which is not actually true. I personally have some problems with it, but, you know, the people who are promoting it are saying, look, anything we can do to get kids to get out of the public schools is a good thing. And, you know, I'm on board with that.
Yep.
Yeah, I think all of us want to see an end to government-forced, monopolized education systems, and if this can help some parents get out sooner rather than later, then it seems like a good thing overall.
And this is one of those topics where very reasonable and consistent libertarians will still disagree with each other on, you know, what kind of educational programs will actually help us to get us out of the public education system versus, oh, well, you're just making it easier to stay in the public education system by making it less bad, and it is a regular argument here among libertarians.
The answer, of course, is freedom and choice, right? Allow parents to decide what kind of programs they want for their specific children, and then other parents, when they communicate with parents who are finding something that works, maybe they'll try that, maybe that didn't work for their kids, and then, you know, it's really about the individual. It always has been, and the state makes it about not the individual.
Well, and it can be very difficult to afford the kind of education that you want, though.
Well, I do have a little bit of good news, and that is nearly 2 million fewer students have enrolled in public school.
Nationwide.
Yeah, nationwide. Okay. So according to thehill.com, in an article, a poll from Education Next found that enrollment in public schools has dropped by 4% over the last 2 years. That represents nearly 2 million students.
Yeah, I definitely heard that homeschooling had jumped from like 5% to 10%, and that's an enormous change.
Ian, you're going to stick with us. We're going to get into your book. You wrote a book. I think you've written more than one. I see a couple of them under your name on Amazon. But the one we're going to talk about tonight is 14, How the 14th Amendment Ate the First 10. We're talking about the U.S. Constitution, Bill of Rights, the the 14th Amendment there. What is it? We're going to find that out because a lot of people might not know right off the top of their heads, being this number 14. It doesn't get a lot of coverage. So we're going to find out more with Ian Underwood, the author of that book. And your calls and thoughts are welcome later.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict the stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
In the 1800s, there were 160 spas set up in Europe to dispense fresh liquid whey. The sick would recover their health and the aged would become rejuvenated. There's only one whey protein powder on the market that can generate and surpass the results seen in the whey spas in Europe. But first, let me tell you the story of 90-year-old Mary, who was semi-bedridden and in hospice care. Mary had been consuming only a pea protein and pasteurized milk drink. Then Mary was put on to Green Meadow Whey mixed with raw milk. She was given 2 to 3 whey drinks per day. On the very first day, Mary was up and came into the kitchen and made chicken soup. She was on her feet for many hours. 3 days later, Mary had gained 2.5 pounds of healthy weight. Green Meadow Whey is health giving to both young and old. Green Meadow Whey is guaranteed to make you feel better, stronger, reduce your inflammation, and eliminate virtually all toxins from your body without feeling sick. To order, go to bestwayprotein.net. That's bestwayprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. RL, 5 stars. Been taking this for 2 months now. I feel better. Have more energy. April, my husband started taking Extendivite, and he said he feels much better and has more energy. EW, need to try. Everyone needs this for their health. Great product, great people. Josie, it works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. JC, great product. Has worked well these last few years. To get your Extendivite today, go to Extendivite.com. That's Extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm about to give you a URL that can and will change your life. Simply investigate it and look into it for your own self. Do your own research. This is an absolute 360 win for GCN, for American Tax Solutions, and for you. Ladies and gentlemen, these are top tax lawyers that will deliver you super service very, very quickly and change your life. The average person can save up to 90% on their taxes. Visit GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Free Talk Live, the live Saturday show. You can join us here at 603-283-6160. And if you've got a question for Ian Underwood, he is an early mover, Free State Project participant, having moved here to New Hampshire with his wife Jody in 2007. They founded Bardo Farm out in Croydon, which has been a tremendous success and feeds I don't know how many people. It seems like everybody's got in the Liberty community some meat in their fridge or freezer from Bardo. We're thawing out some pork right now.
The sweet Italian sausages are my faves.
Man, those are really good. But we're not here to talk so much about farming. He was on tonight to actually talk about his new book, but we spent the first hour discussing Croydon and the educational conflict that has gone down there this year that got some pretty major press earlier this year. If you had a question about any of those things, you're certainly welcome to join us here, and Ian is still on the line with us, spending a significant amount of time with us here tonight, so I appreciate your time, Ian. And did you have any, before we get into 14, your book, did you have any other comments on education topics that we've been discussing that you wanted to get out there?
The only thing is it's depressing how little the discussion about this has been about education. And, you know, we're going to talk about 14, but I have, you know, a bunch of books coming out. Three of those are about education, and that really has to do with how do you deal with this discussion. And I think a lot of it has to do with being much clearer about what we mean by fairness.
Yeah, it sounded for a moment like you were going to give me some pushback on the affordability of the education that people wanted, but we kind of headed into a commercial break.
Oh, I mean, the affordability, you know, so one of the things, and I would like to get this out, I mean, one of the things that was interesting to me was in the pamphlet and in, you know, at meetings where I spoke, I said, look, we need to actually figure out what it is we're trying to do, because otherwise we can only succeed by accident. And so for lack of a better idea, you know, I'm just quoting the Supreme Court the state Supreme Court from 1998 saying that it's the state's responsibility to provide every educable child with the opportunity to get the knowledge and learning necessary to participate intelligently in the economic, political, and social systems of free government. And regardless of how they arrived at that, you could take that as a starting point. And if you do that, the system we have would look very, very much different than the system that we have now. And so what was funny was, you know, immediately, again, people are like, that's just a crazy free stater idea. That's just, it's anti-social, it's anti-kid, it's anti-everything. And it's like, it's the state Supreme Court from 20 years ago. You know, do you think it was infiltrated by free staters?
Right.
What do you think happened there? But it's just, I've actually taken the position that if we just took that sentence seriously, we would get a much better educational result, and we would pay a lot less. So that is sort of the point that I've been trying to make, really, if you sum it up in one small sentence, is that we can't get a better education for kids by spending more, but we might be able to do it by spending less. And that is the message that totally got lost.
Well, one thing's for sure, you're never going to get a decent education out of the government because they have no competition. It doesn't matter if they do a crappy job. They almost always get more money every single year, and anything that goes in the opposite direction is a good thing. Hopefully we can get more free staters, more liberty-loving people to migrate here to New Hampshire, make life even more difficult for the government-loving status out there, frustrate the hell out of them, and hopefully they will end up leaving, making it even more difficult for the few that remain. Ian, you wrote a book. It's more than one, I think. This was published a little earlier this year. Is 14? Is it your first book, and what inspired it?
It is. It's my first book, and what inspired it was that I kept having these conversations with people and listening to conversations with people where they would, you know, either physically or metaphorically hold up their copy of the Constitution and say, "You can't do this. The government can't do this. It can't take away our guns. It can't tell us what to say." And of course, you look around, and they're doing all of this stuff. And so I sort of asked myself,
if they can, and are.
So I sort of posed myself the question, if I was a Martian and I came down and I looked at the rules of this game that's being played, and I looked at the way it's being played, if you look at any other game, like baseball or chess or Pokemon, for crying out loud, there are these rules, and everybody follows the rules, and everything that happens you can explain by looking at the rules, even if you can't predict what's going to happen. You can explain it, and you look at the game called government, and that just goes out the window. And so I was looking for a way to explain what's actually going on. In essence, I'm saying, what's the real rule book here?
Right.
And it turns out that the answer to that is heavily related to the 14th Amendment.
I see.
Okay, what is the 14th Amendment? Can you recap for listeners that may not be familiar?
Yeah, so the 14th Amendment basically says the Bill of Rights, as written, as ratified, applies only to the federal government. So the Bill of Rights says the Congress can't make a bill restricting freedom of speech, but Massachusetts can. It says that Congress can't take your gun away, but New Hampshire can, right? It didn't apply to the states particularly. And so the 14th Amendment was like this political miracle where Congress and the states got together, passed and ratified something saying we are going to give up some power, which is unbelievable in retrospect. And the way they gave up power was the Bill of Rights actually applies to the states, too. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
And so great. But the first chance that it came up for the Supreme Court to rule on it, they completely just destroyed that by reinterpreting it to say, oh, when you're talking about the privileges and immunities of the citizens of the United States, by which Congress and all the state legislatures meant the Bill of Rights, they said, oh, that only applies, that means rights that were created because the United States exists, like the right to travel across the state line without a passport, right, which was never under dispute. There would be no point in passing an amendment to say that. So they destroyed that. And so the result was many decades later, some Supreme Court justices decided, well, maybe we were a little too hasty. Maybe the state should have to, for instance, respect some aspect of freedom of speech. Well, how are we going to do this? Because we just destroyed the Privileges and Immunities Clause. But there's a second clause in the 14th Amendment which says everybody is entitled to due process under law. So they created an oxymoron called substantive due process, right? So if you have something that's going on, you separate it into substance, which is what you're doing, process, which is how you do it. And so substantive due process is the substance of the process, which is nothing, but that's okay. Because if you're a Supreme Court justice, you wave your hands and people just assume you know what you're doing.
Hmm. Yeah, this all sounds very, very confusing.
It is, and it's supposed to be confusing, but the basic idea is if the court decides that some right is part of substantive due process, then it is incorporated against the state under the 14th Amendment. So this is a phrase that many people have heard. Oh, look, the Second Amendment got incorporated. Oh, the Fourth Amendment got incorporated under the 14th Amendment. So you have this phrase, substantive due process. So what does that mean? It doesn't mean anything, but the way it's been explained is to say, well, if something is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, then it is part of substantive due process. So now you've got two empty phrases.
All right, hold that thought, Ian. I want to continue with this. And I didn't even realize how long the 14th Amendment was.
It's pretty lengthy. I've been browsing it myself.
There's more coming up here in moments. If you've got a question for Ian Underwood, he's on the line. He's the author of 14, How the 14th Amendment Ate the First 10. It is available through Amazon, Kindle, and or paperback versions. There's more coming up here.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg wrote a letter to airline carriers on Thursday telling them to improve their service. warning them that new rules may be coming to better empower travelers. According to data from the department, about 24% of domestic flights have been delayed, just more than 3% of them canceled in the first half of this year. Buttigieg added in the letter that his department will have a new website live by Labor Day weekend, clearly displaying each airline's cancellation, delay, and refund policies. The State Department has called on the Kremlin to release imprisoned opposition leader Alexei Navalny on the second anniversary of his being poisoned with a nerve agent. The department accused Russian officers of trying to assassinate Navalny, who was arrested after being treated in Germany upon his return to Russia in January 2021. This is USA Radio News. The New York State Inspector General said in a report that a state trooper should have been disciplined for getting romantically involved with then-Governor Andrew Cuomo's adult daughter while serving on his security detail. The report came 2 years after the relationship and the trooper's apparent banishment to a post near the Canadian border. It was speculated at the time that Cuomo personally ordered the transfer because he was upset over the relationship. The report does not address whether the governor requested the transfer or which daughter it was. A Cuomo spokesman said Friday that he had no role in it. A federal judge told South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham that he still has to testify before a grand jury in Fulton County, Georgia. Graham had asked the judge for an emergency stay as he appealed the decision ordering him to speak to the panel that is investigating whether former President Trump and his allies interfered with the 2020 presidential election in the Peach State. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
It's Free Talk Live. Folks are up in here. And if you got a question for Ian Underwood, your call will be given priority. Number 603-283-6160. If you really want liberty in your lifetime, you ought to check out the Free Cities Foundation's annual conference called Liberty in Our Lifetime. It's happening in Prague this year, October 21st through the 23rd. We'll be showcasing autonomous cities and intentional communities that are springing up around the world, offering opportunities for settlers to live freer lives. Free Private Cities is offering Free Talk Live listeners a 20% discount on tickets, which you can use code FTL20 to receive at your checkout over at their website, lifetimeliberty.com. That's lifetimeliberty.com, code FTL20. You can join our co-host, Mark Edge, who will be speaking at the event in Prague from October 21st through the 23rd for Liberty in Your Lifetime. We go back to Ian Underwood. He's an early mover with the Free State Project, and he's an activist who got something done earlier this year in the town of Croydon. We spent the first hour on the school board fiasco that happened there. If you missed that part of the conversation, just go grab the archive later tonight at freetalklive.com, and you can find that there. But, Ian, you were just getting into telling us about your book, your first book, and you do have others on the way. Your website, by the way, is bareminimumbooks.com, and that's where you can learn what some of the upcoming books are.
Nice URL.
Yeah, I like the one that's coming up apparently soon is going to be called Licenses Are the New Draft Cards, What COVID-19 Taught Us About Occupational Licensing. That sounds like a good one, too.
Hey, I do have a quick question for Ian before he gets into his book.
Yeah.
Your middle initial isn't O for, like, Oscar or something, is it? It would just be really unfortunate if your parents, you know, made you into IOU.
No, it's M.
Okay, all right.
All right, so
good. I am you.
You were beginning to tell us, Ian, about the 14th Amendment, which this is what your book focuses on. And please pick up kind of where you left off or recap slightly, whatever you want to do here.
Okay, I mean, you're right. Some of it seems complicated, but the amendment itself is not complicated. It's very straightforward. It says, one, the states have to obey, they have to respect the Bill of Rights, and two, everybody's entitled to due process. That's basically it. You know, they use fancier language. But the story is really about how the courts killed it and then brought it back to life. And so the analogy I'm using is the rights in the Bill of Rights, because of the way this all happened, are sort of zombie rights. You know, a zombie is not all there. They're just sort of, you know, crawling around, blindly, and that's sort of how rights are. And so the idea is that the way that it ate the first 10 is you start out with a fairly absolute right, and then the 14th Amendment dilutes the way the states have to deal with it, and then that becomes the de facto way that the federal government deals with it. And so your right to keep and bear arms says, well, you know, maybe you can have a magazine with 7 rounds but not 10, or you can have a pistol in your home but not an AR. At the rifle range, or it says, yeah, you know what, we can search you at an airport without, you know, probable cause, without any kind of warrant for any reason at all, because only certain parts of your right to privacy are implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. But I do want to make this point that there is a theme to these books. It's not a theme exactly, but it's the way they're written. Every one of these books started out as a talk that I gave. So it's somewhere between 20 and 40 minutes. And the way they're written is similar to a book, a wonderful book called This Is Water by David Foster Wallace. And so every page is like one sentence or a paragraph or an illustration. And so it is the idea of Bare Minimum Books is to tell you with the least amount of, you know, fooling around what it is you need to know about this topic. So you can read this in one sitting. And the idea is that it should be something which at first actually does seem very complicated. And then at the end you go, okay, that wasn't as complicated as I thought it was. I'm still angry about it, but at least now I understand it.
Well, and
so that's sort of the effect I want.
Well, and I'm definitely interested in finding out, because I've absolutely noticed that they say that we have all of these rights, but as far as I can tell, not a single one of them is actually defended.
Well, exactly. And so, again, the state we're in now is that you can reduce the Bill of Rights to a single sentence, and it's this. You have the right to do anything that is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty unless there's a compelling government interest in preventing you from doing it. And the book is essentially explaining.
Hold on, you're using a phrase that I am really not familiar with. A compelling government interest. What does that mean?
It's whatever they say. It means.
It means that the government decides that there is some interest that it has in preserving the appearance of democracy, or making people feel safe, or, you know, promoting public health or whatever. That's a compelling government interest, and it overrides whatever rights you think you might have.
Ah.
Did that wording, the compelling government interest thing, come up in one of these Supreme Court cases that you researched?
Yes, it actually has. And so is implicit in the concept of ordered liberty. In fact, if you look at the recent, I think it's Dobbs that overturned Roe v. Wade, you see this phrase, concept of ordered liberty, implicit in the concept of ordered liberty, all over the place. The book explains what that is, or what it isn't, and what they're pretending it is. So, yes, the sort of the point of the book is if you read this, you will then be able to read things like, you know, that decision, or the decision on the gun laws in New York, and you'll actually see what's going on in those decisions, and you'll understand. And that's after you spend, you know, like 20 to 30 minutes reading the book.
Very cool. The book, again, is available. You can go to bareminimumbooks.com. It'll link you over to Amazon. His name is Ian Underwood. Ian, was there something we should have asked you tonight that you felt like we didn't get to?
I would point out that three of the books that are coming out are going to be about education.
Okay, cool.
And so that's really the topic that I'm most passionate about is trying to reframe the discussion. It's what we were trying to do with the lower budget. That was the whole point of it. People think it was about saving money, and it is about saving money because you know, people are being, you know, made, they have to decide every month, should they eat or pay my school taxes. So it is about money, but it's really about having a serious discussion about what it is we're trying to do and what the best way to do that might be. So there will be three books coming out that are all about education. And I hope people will look at those, and I hope that those will come out and influence. It will at least cause us to people to start having that discussion, which they're not now.
Nice.
Mostly now they're...
I can't express it any, you know, more, but I'll try. My feeling is that education of children, that is to say, getting them out of the public schools and into, you know, either private schools or homeschooling or private tutoring, whatever it is, and teaching them about the reality of what the state is probably going to be the most effective strategy to bringing about freedom.
I think that's true, but I will tell you, the title of one of the books is The Libertarian Case for Public School. So I would love to come back on once that's been out and talk to you about it and get your feedback on it.
Yeah, that'd be great. You've been a great guest, really informative, and appreciate the story from the first hour and all the info. So Ian Underwood, thank you. Again, he's the author of 14, and it's spelled in Roman numerals, XIV, How the 14th Amendment Ate the First 10. Check him out, and thanks for the call tonight. Definitely appreciate your time. Thanks for having me on.
It's been great.
Yeah, it's Ian Underwood from Croydon, New Hampshire, early mover for the Free State Project. And it just goes to show the impact that one person can have on the process here. New Hampshire is a small place. The town meeting that he attended had 40-something people at it. And he persuaded enough people at that town meeting to reduce that school budget. It was overturned later, but still, it was a success at that time.
And got national press.
Exactly. Yeah. It may have been overturned, but not before it caught everyone's attention.
One guy in a town of, what did he say, 700, 800 people?
Yeah, about 700 people.
One guy in a tiny town got national press for being a principled person.
Yeah.
And it also shows that it doesn't actually take that much to change the world. I mean, all it takes is like one town that shows, hey, we are spending way more money than we're actually getting in education. You can spend a reasonable amount of money and get the same amount of education. And as soon as you prove that, well, all of these other programs are up for grabs.
Coming up, what are the Info Warriors? No, we're not talking about Alex Jones here. This is the other side of it. And, Captain, you've got a story about that on the way. Plus, Beard Talk Live is coming up later tonight on our
uncensored
video feed, video.freetalk.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens to you. Older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green metal whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwhyprotein.net. That's bestwhyprotein.net. Or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Let's face it, food shortages are a real threat now. Supply chain breakdowns, inflation, fuel prices, global conflicts, fertilizer cutbacks, farmers being encouraged not to plant. The stage is set for the peanut butter to hit the fan. But for some reason, Americans are still in denial about food shortages. Listen, we don't take risks with other things in our lives, so why take risks with your food security? Those who know what's coming are using today to prepare. Millions of Americans have purchased Ready Hour emergency food from My Patriot Supply, the brand people look for when they're ready for real preparedness. MyPatriotSupply.com is America's largest preparedness company. Get stocked up on emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage to get you through tough times ahead. Your other choice is to stand in government food lines hoping for a handout. As we both know, that's not an option. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com. And an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It is Free Talk Live. Phones are now open for anybody to call in about anything you want. Normally, during guests, which we did have one at the beginning of the show, Ian Underwood was with us. We restrict calls, but now those calls are unrestricted. You can join us at 603-283-6160. Bring up whatever you want to discuss. And speaking of unrestricted calls, there will be even more unrestrictions, even less, fewer restrictions coming up later tonight.
Are we taking calls? I don't know if we've decided that.
Up to you guys.
Yeah, okay.
I guess that's up to you. But maybe you guys won't take calls.
We'll tune in tonight to find out whether we're taking
10:30
calls.
10:30 p.m.
Or not.
There will be phone lines here, should they wish to take calls.
One thing I know will be here, that's beards.
During Beard Talk Live, and I did do the research, Captain, that you did not do before the show.
I made a bold claim.
You made a bold claim, and I had to shoot it down.
I've been fact-checked by the producer.
Turns out there are other people with beards that do podcasts. They claimed was a top 10 list, but it only had 7 items on it.
Disqualified.
So we are number 8.
I presume that means there are only 7 beard-related podcasts out there, and most of them don't seem to have websites, at least according to this list. But one of them did, the number 1 show on that list.
I got to fact-check that presumption. No, if you just like go to a podcatcher and mm-hmm. type in beard, you will find a lot of podcasts.
Really?
So,
yeah.
Therefore, there are actually quite a few
more than 7
beard-based podcasts.
The beard quality of what we're about to do tonight, though, is sort of secondary. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not going to be specifically talking about beards, at least, you know, perhaps we'll mention it or maybe we will. But, like, it's not intended to be a show about beards. It just so happens
darn
that the people,
near coincidental.
Yeah, that the people participating in the show all happen to have, I'll say, large beards.
However, the men on the Beardcaster, thebeardcaster.com, got to give them some credit here. You've got a fairly lengthy beard there, Captain, but the main host, he's got double your length on this one. Similar beard.
That's what she said.
He's got the same kind of thing going on. It's just a lot longer. And he appears to have co-hosts. I'd say they're maybe about the same length.
Okay.
Well, and that's one of the things. If I could get someone to challenge us in beardiness, then I would like... I would pull out the braids just to fluff it out.
Exactly. There.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And he's got other people with some pretty fancy looking beards as well. So you guys got
coming back there a little bit. You know,
yeah, I've always got something going on.
Looking a little closer to Serge.
Usually I have to go to jail to actually let the thing go.
to get any decent girth on it. Yeah.
To go full Kaczynski on us.
Beard Talk Live will be later tonight. That's 10:30 Eastern Time. You can find it at video.freetalklive.com. Also on the other various video streaming platforms that you'll find us on. So look for that later tonight. Let's go to the phones here. David is in New Mexico. You're on Free Talk Live, and then we'll get to Info Warriors coming up.
Yeah, following up where we got cut off last time. And
I have no idea where that was, so you're going to have to recap.
Ian, you had suggested that the point I was trying to illustrate is that Judge John J. Romero Jr., who signed on the dotted line to be an air traffic controller hired by the U.S. government and then decided he didn't want to follow the terms of his contract, but that he should be able to not follow the rules of his contract and still keep his job, you suggested that the moral of the story I was trying to present was that here a judge in a court, in a government that believes in following what is written down in law in black and white on paper.
So they claim.
Did not do that. That's one of the points. The other point was that, if you're looking at the traditional hiring process, especially in sensitive jobs, however one may determine that, judge is probably some sort of sensitive job. So when you go to apply to be a judge, like this federal judge that's hearing your case, for instance, if you want that job as a federal judge or a state judge like John J. Romero Jr., they might look at your resume from your previous career. You suspect you can't just come out of high school and say, I want to be a judge, and they say, okay. Usually they would look at your resume and your qualifications, and they would do some background checking. Mm-hmm. When they do some background checking on John J. Romero Jr., they're going to find out that he was insubordinate to his employer, who happened to be his boss was the President of the United States. And the President of the United States gave him a direct order to go back to work. And the insubordinate employee, Judge John J. Romero Jr., refused to follow that lawful order, because it's never been proved unlawful, and he was fired. And then he subsequently, in rather short order, not only got himself hired as a judge by the state of New Mexico, but before that he did two other things. One, he applied and was scrutinized and was accepted into the University of New Mexico Law School. And so that questions the discretion of the University of New Mexico Law School. And then after he was accepted and finished law school, he applied to the bar, and the bar accepted him.
Well, these things don't surprise me that you're bringing up, because these are positions that, as much as some people would deny it, are absolutely political positions. And as much as the rest of life, life in politics is about who you know. And I suspect this guy knew some people, and
yeah,
he certainly.
That's my first question: is who does this guy know to be able to get away with all this stuff?
Yeah, and don't forget, New Mexico is also a generally considered a lefty state, and you're talking about a time period in which Ronald Reagan was the president that gave that order for those air traffic controllers to go back to work. And so it could very well be a badge of honor seen by other leftists in the legal profession of like, oh, well, you stuck it to that president. Here, come on into our law school.
The Trump of his age, as it were.
Could have been as simple as that. What do you think, David?
Yeah, I think you're right on. In fact, one of your suggestions there was a perfect segue that I intended to touch on in a future time on this Generation Justice article on Judge John J. Romero, where they go through his entire career, and several things that are very telling come out. And one of them, as I have suggested about the state of New Mexico being incestuous and nepotistic in its government, and amongst other things, is John J. Romero talks about where he came from in the state, and it exactly matches where the enclave is the exact words used by people that are part of this enclave in northern New Mexico, surrounding Santa Fe and north of Santa Fe. There is the old, going back to the king and queen, literally, of Spain, these people came to these shores across Mexico up into the Rio Grande Valley and going north on that valley up into the mountains, along the valley and up in the mountains of New Mexico. And they've been resentful of any outsiders ever since. They are the original people that were not Indians, Native Americans, that came to this country, as documented anyway, without going into whether Vikings.
And he was part of that, the lineage?
Yes, Romero is one of the original 11 or 13 family names.
So he goes way back, basically. He's got family connections that go way back. Thank you, David, for the call tonight. It's like that around here in New England. There's certain old family names out in, like, the Keene, New Hampshire area where we're at that are just... they're everywhere. They've been around for from the very beginning of the first colonists who came over, and they stayed put, and they've got influence, and they're the good old boy network.
I wonder if that guy John J. Romero is related to Cesar Romero, the OG Joker on the 70s and 60s Batman series.
Don't know. Good question.
So I had a thought that I didn't really get a chance to say while we were on the subject of education, and it's just that frequently when I talk to people about education, they lose the ability to think rationally and reasonably and move into a sort of, like, a mythological mindset, if you will. Like, they become very emotionally based in their perspective rather than logically based.
Or factually based.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Like, the subject of education seems to trigger something in a lot of people.
You mean, like, if you were to suggest the ending of the state's involvement in education, and they might flip out on you because, oh my God, the children.
More
right?
than might, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's something about, and it may just be the fact that you're involving children, and children do,
they
you
get
know,
make people
reason,
emotional.
For good reason, tend to make people emotional. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, like, the rational faculty of, like, hey, maybe we should check out whether this is actually effective.
Well, is it good for the children or not?
Right, exactly. But that just goes away, and this, like, myth of the great teacher just sort of supplants any logical considerations of, like, is this actually a good thing? Is this actually working?
Well, one of the difficulties you run up against is you are talking to the bulk of the population. Was it 90% of them went to government school? So odds are you're talking to somebody who went through that system, even if they, at the time, thought it sucked. Later on, they usually come to the conclusion of, well, you know, I turned out okay. Must be all right.
Yeah, people say the same thing for, like, spanking and child abuse.
They do. I got to make sure to repeat the trauma that was done to me.
They sure do. We can continue the discussion. Your calls and thoughts are welcome. We'll find out what the Info Warriors for the UN are coming up here in hour number 3 on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to gcnteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.